morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Great to be with you here today on this Wednesday. Let's kick things off with prayer, with a prayer before a day's work. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Direct, we beg you, O Lord, our actions by your holy inspirations, and grant that we may carry them out with your gracious assistance, that every prayer and work of ours may begin always with you, and through you be happily ended. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning in today, for joining us here on Spirit in the Morning. We've got a great show coming up in this hour. Megan Coakley from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, specifically, she's the director of the Office of New Evangelization. She's going to check in with us, and we're going to be talking about evangelization. What is it? Why should we do it? And what the Archdiocese of Philadelphia is doing about the new evangelization. Also in this hour, Father Tony Kuchar will be joining us. He is the current president for the National Federation of Priests Council. What is that? We're going to find out when we talk to Father Tony. We'll also have the Be Not Afraid Bible verse, our usual assortment of music. And as we do each day, we present to you the one, the only, Mr. Dave Parker.
Hey, thank you, Gary. Good morning, everyone. How are you, Gary?
I'm doing good, my man. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, thanks.
We're on our own. Frank Eliason is not with us today.
That's right.
You're going to be
in spirit.
That's right. You're going to be good?
I'm always good, Gary.
Frank's going to be. Frank is listening. Hello, Frank. We miss you, but we're carrying on without you. Frank has some other business to attend to today. Quick thing, Dave, I want to, if I could, I know all of our listeners are good prayers.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to request some prayers for my wife, Eileen. Yesterday, we had a bit of an incident. Eileen was experiencing some serious eye pain. And you know how it is with pain. You always assume it's going to go away. You just see what happens. Well, this wasn't going away for several days. Her vision was getting blurry. And finally, we had to have an emergency visit at the eye doctor. What they suspect is she has some sort of glaucoma. I think they call it angle closure glaucoma. And unfortunately, they couldn't diagnose it because they weren't able to see her eye. The pressure in her eye was so high that they had to try to get the pressure down before they could diagnose it. So we go back to the eye doctor today at noon. If you would just keep her in your prayers, I'd really appreciate it. It's very painful. I mean, it's something that we're on top of, but it's hard to take that pain away. So if you would keep Eileen in your prayers, I would greatly appreciate that.
Eileen, Barbara and I are praying for you, and we hope your pain subsides and this all resolves shortly.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. You know, prayer, isn't it great that we have prayer and we're able to turn to the Lord for relief? I put this out on Facebook yesterday. Dave, you responded, and I really appreciate that. I got hundreds of responses for people who were praying for Eileen.
Yes.
It happens.
Yeah.
That is a great use of social media.
Absolutely.
I've done that before. I've asked for prayers in times of crisis, and people come through.
Absolutely. It was heartwarming to see your many, many friends on Facebook who responded instantaneously.
It's a blessing, Dave. In addition to you, we had some of our guests, Dr. Greg Popchak, Dr. Kevin Vost. They were praying for Eileen.
Absolutely.
So I thank you all for the prayers. We'll keep you posted.
We're one family, folks. You know, we can pray for each other.
Amen. Amen. And that's why, you know, on that note, let me just say to you listening, if we can help you, if we could pray for you in any way, I know, Dave, you coordinate the prayer list here at Holy Spirit Radio.
I have input to it,
Well, let me ask you, Dave, what is the best way, if somebody does have a prayer intention, what is the best way to get that to us at the station?
Number one, you could call the station at 215-345-1570, and whomever's on duty at the time, you just say, I would like to... I have a prayer request, and then that person will take it. You can email it in, holyspiritradio.org.
What would be the email address?
I think, well, one of the station is holyspiritradio.org, that's to get us on the internet. You can email Gary, you can email me, you can email Frank at Spirit in the Morning for Gary.
Right, Gary at spiritinthemorning.com.
Yes.
And Gary at HolySpiritRadio.org, and you are Dave Parker
at HolySpiritRadio.org. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, so just let us know if we can pray for you, because Dave's right, we are one family, and we here at the station would love to pray for you. We will put it out on the air if you would like. We do intentions right, Dave? You're responsible for working with those?
Yes, yes. Jane compiles them, basically, and Frank, and yeah, a lot of people, we read them, we take our turns reading with Jane, okay?
So just let us know, and we would certainly love to pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else do we have, Dave, going on? Oh, I want to mention something about tomorrow's program. I'm looking at a book here. It's called Dying to Be Happy. It's from Beacon Publishing. This is the publisher that my latest book, Stop Worrying and Start Living, is with. This is Beacon Publishing is the publishing house for Dynamic Catholic, for Matthew Kelly's Dynamic Catholic. Anyway, this book is called Dying to Be Happy by Chris Stepien. Chris is going to be joining us on the program tomorrow. Dave, listen to this line.
Mm-hmm.
This is an incredibly powerful book. This book blew me away, and I needed to get Chris on the show. From the book, let's not forget we're all dying every day. Today you're as young as you'll ever be. This could be your last sunrise or sunset. Now, scary.
Yeah. Wake up. Wow.
That's what this book is about. This
exactly.
book is not meant to depress you. This book is to give you that sense of urgency, to remind you that today, even the full today isn't guaranteed.
Exactly.
And this is not a morbid message. This is not something meant to make you upset. This is a reminder.
It's reality, folks.
Right.
Once we come down to that in our own heart and soul and we resolve it, when our own questioning about life and other things, it's a stark message, though, Gare.
And it's one that we often try to run away from. Mm-hmm. But let's face it, and this isn't a news flash, we're all going to die one day.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus wants us to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
If we're ready, we're going to be ready. How's that? How's that for a quote?
Exactly.
But we're going to be prepared.
True.
How about if we're ready, we're going to be prepared?
Yeah, exactly.
I need to be ready to be called home at any time. God wants me to do something today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this book is all about. He writes this in such a powerful way. This book grew out of his wife's diagnosis of breast cancer, stage 4 breast cancer.
Wow.
And I believe she's doing well. But at the time, it was such a wake-up call to him, and that's how this book came about.
Exactly.
What a powerful message.
Exactly. And again, as Gary says, not to depress our listeners, but I think our loyal Catholic listeners, I mean, we're aware of exactly what that topic is. And that's why every day we want to help people prepare to get to that point in their lives where they feel like they could be ready
at any
moment.
And that's the whole point of this show. If I could, I mean, my whole vision for this show, Dave, and you're very aware of this. When I wanted to do this show is about helping you to get to know Jesus Christ. Why? Because he wants you to be happy. A lot of times we forget that. He wants you to be happy. You're not going to be happy unless you get to know him personally. But it goes beyond that. He wants you to be not just happy in this life, which you can be happy in this life, even if you have problems, knowing Christ will allow you to be happy in this life. But he wants you to be happy forever, for all eternity, with him in heaven.
Yeah.
How do you do that? You get to do that by knowing him. So that's my first goal for this program. That's what we try to do here. My second goal is to help you remember that we need to do something to bring that love of Jesus to those around us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So my goal is to get you to know Christ and then to inspire you to do something.
Yes,
that's why we have
with
the features.
Christ, yeah.
Exactly.
Because it's a personal relationship with him.
And so many people don't know him, Dave.
Mm-hmm,
that's the problem.
Yeah.
We live in a world that's very secular at times, and we need to bring that love of Christ to people. That's why we feature the Christophers on the show. That's why we have people like Chris Stepien encouraging us. That's why we do the music we do. That's why we bring these guests on, to help you, to encourage you, to get you to realize that the Lord's got big plans for you.
Mm-hmm.
He's got something for you to
do. Yeah, I was
going to
say, Gary, I mean, we are using the word happy, but as we all know and we've heard, we want to get to the level of joy in our relationship with the Lord. And when we can submit and surrender to him, it goes far beyond happiness. It's a worldly happiness, but and one level, but it's a spiritual happiness and joy we're seeking.
Right, and I get absolutely, but there is. We're going to be talking more about this throughout Lent. You just kind of led me into something. I do want to read the gospel, but Matthew Kelly has recently been talking a lot. His new book is called Resisting Happiness. The happiness we are talking about is a happiness that comes from a close relationship with the Lord. We are going to be doing something with Dynamic Catholic during the Lenten season. Maybe I'll announce it later in the show, but I was talking with the folks at the Dynamic Catholic Institute yesterday, and we're going to be doing a special feature in conjunction with Matthew Kelly during the Lenten season. So I want you to stay tuned for that. It is going to be related to happiness, and the reminder is God wants us to be happy. And that is not a worldly happiness. It's the happiness that comes from a relationship with him. So thank you, Dave, for mentioning that. Stay tuned. We will talk more about that. Let's look at the gospel today from Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. When Jesus and his disciples arrived at Bethsaida, people brought to him a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Putting spittle on his eyes, he laid his hands on the man and asked, "Do you see anything?" Looking up, the man replied, "I see people looking like trees and walking." Then he laid hands on the man's eyes a second time, and he saw clearly. His sight was restored, and he could see everything distinctly. Then he sent him home and said, "Do not even go into the village." So what's going on here? Is Jesus losing his touch with miracles? Well, in reality, what's happening here is we see the fact that many of the healings that Jesus performs on all of us, whether it's a spiritual or physical healing, they take time. They don't always happen instantaneously. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And many times it has to do with our faith. Maybe our faith isn't as strong as it should be at any point in time, but our faith can grow. What's happening here is that this man, possibly, and this is the opinion of I was looking at one interpretation of this. The interpretation said that it's possible this man's faith wasn't as strong as it could be the first time, and his faith was in the process of growing. So what I would say is, if you're struggling to believe something in your life, remember this, that faith can grow, and your faith can grow. How does your faith grow? Your faith grows by exercising it, by using it. What does that mean? That means if you got a problem in your life, turn to the Lord and ask for him to solve it. Ask for help. And eventually what you'll see is as he comes through repeatedly, you're going to start to grow in faith. So ask for that increase in faith. Don't hesitate. Put your trust in the Lord because he can do miracles. We're going to have that link at spiritinthemorning.com. When we come back, we will be joined on the phone by Father Tony Kuchar. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for February 15th. Today we celebrate Saint Claude de la Colombière. This is a special day for the Jesuits, who claim today's saint as one of their own. It's also a special day for the people who have a deep devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, a devotion Claude de la Colombière promoted, along with his friend and spiritual companion, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. The emphasis on God's love for all was an anecdote to the rigorous moralism of the Jansenists, who were popular in the mid-1700s. Claude showed remarkable preaching skills long before his ordination in 1675. 2 months later, he was made superior of a small Jesuit residence in Burgundy. It was there he first encountered Sister Margaret Mary. For many years after, he served as her confessor. Claude was next sent to England to serve as confessor to the Duchess of York. He preached both by words and by the example of his holy life, converting a number of Protestants. Opposition against Catholics increased, and Claude, rumored to be part of a plot against the king, was imprisoned. He was ultimately banished, but by then his health had been ruined. Claude de la Colombière died in 1682. Pope John Paul II canonized him in 1992. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Thank you. so hard for me to see where this is going and where you're leading me. I wish I knew how. All my fears and all my questions are gone.
Already There by Casting Crowns. I'm Gary Zimek. Thank you so much for listening to Spirit in the Morning. That song is a great reminder that sometimes we panic about our future, but what we need to remember is the Lord's already there. He already knows what's going to happen. So as long as we turn to Him, we are going to be in good shape. All right. Moving right along, we're going to talk about something very interesting. Father Tony Kutcher is the current president for the National Federation of Priest Council. Father was ordained a priest for the Archdiocese of Cincinnati in 1999 after first serving in the U.S. Navy. Dave, you'll find this interesting as a military guy on a ballistic missile submarine and then working in Nashville where he answered the call to priesthood.
Wow.
Really neat. Good morning, Father. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you, Glenn?
I'm great. Thank you so much for tuning for joining us today on Spirit in the Morning. Father, I want to ask you a little bit about this, the Priest Council. Could you give us, because I was unfamiliar with the National Federation of Priests Councils, could you tell us a little bit about its history and how it serves today?
Certainly. Well, it's not a surprise. Very few people know about the National Federation for some reason. But actually, we were formed in 1968, right after the Second Vatican Council, because in the council, there's a call for greater collaboration between the bishops and their priests.
Mm-hmm.
And every bishop has to have a council of priests to advise him and help him in the governance of the diocese. And in 68, a group of these councils got together and decided to create a federation to trade information and help in each other as they were forming at that point in time. Now, here we are almost 50 years later, and we call priests together for brotherhood, solidarity, and communion for priests, presbyterates, and bishops, because the bishops are also part of our organization as well. So we still continue to trade information back and forth. We deal with national kind of priestly issues, things like our wages and the current priest shortage, how to work with priests from other generations, all of those things that go into that. So basically, we help our priests stay connected to one another through their councils, and it really gives us that feeling of brotherhood across the country.
And Father, each year you have a national convocation, correct?
We do. We call all priests from the United States together, usually in some nice place, for a few days of relaxation and some a little continuing education, and just to be able to be together and, once again, trade information.
That is so important. When and where will it be this year, Father?
This year, I believe it's April 24th through the 27th, and it is in Anaheim, California, at the Majestic Garden Inn.
Well, that is a nice place.
It is. It's right behind Disneyland.
Nice. Hey, Father, what's the theme for the convocation this year?
This year's theme is Forging a Future with Pope Francis.
Wow. That is so important. That is what the Holy Father has been coming out with, so many great statements. I find a lot of his messages challenging, and I think that's good, don't you?
I do. And I think my brother priests do as well. We've been looking for someone to give us some marching orders, give us some sort of vision that we can follow in the parishes. And so that's why we picked this theme. And we chose just a couple of his more, I guess, what would you call it, marquee themes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's so into the immigration and migration and refugees.
Right.
So we've got a speaker coming to talk to us about that. Mm-hmm. But then we also, we want to connect with our young people in the pews, our millennials. They're often the overlooked generation. We do lots of things for really small children and young people, and lots of things for married couples, but
right.
There's nothing for that group in between. And so we're going to look to see what he has to say and see if we can bring it to the parishes.
Father, do you have to be a member of the Priest Council in order to participate in the convocation?
That's the great thing. You do not.
It
is open to all priests in the United States.
And if we have several priests who are listening to the program, if any of our listeners, priests or members of the laity, want to find out more about the NFPC or the convocation, where would be the best place to go?
Well, of course, it's our website, nfpc.org.
Okay.
Just click on the convocation tab. Right now, we're still having the early bird special, so if they sign up before March 1st, they get the discount.
Excellent. And we will have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Father, many of our listeners are members of the laity, and the question that might be arising right now is how can we as members of the laity assist your work or the convocation specifically?
Well, you know, in addition to being the president, I'm also a pastor myself, and so I could tell you that I always tell people that the rectory seems to have its own gravity. That it's very hard for a priest to get away because we think that while we're gone, we're not in control. Things can go wrong, and, you know, we're all just very I just think we're very possessive of our parishes.
Right.
So really what the laity can do is basically tell Father, go, you need this.
Oh, okay.
Go, we got this. Just, you know, Father, we will take care of things while you're gone. And even if it's a hardship, you know, if for some reason the money's a little tight for the priest, offer to take up a little collection among some folks, you know, 5 or 10 folks at $20 apiece. Sends him to the convocation.
That's really good that you're saying that, because that's not something that I would typically think of. So what I would like to say to our members of the laity who are listening, think about this convocation for your pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all that he's done for you. Mm-hmm. Think about this for him. Father, we have about three minutes left.
3 minutes.
I want to make sure that I get your blessing before we let you go. But I also want to ask you, as a pastor, what are some of the challenges that you face, and how can I, as a member of the laity, help my pastor better, in addition to possibly doing what I can to get him to be sent to the convocation? What can I do on a daily basis?
Well, on a daily basis, first and foremost, pray.
Okay.
Pray for your pastors.
Right.
Secondly, seek out opportunities to volunteer. You know, there's tons of tasks that perhaps aren't being done or can't be done by one of the paid staff.
Right.
Maybe it's a small parish with very little paid staff. So really, just to ease a priest's mind when it comes to the details. I've always been a big fan, and I tell people this all the time, let the laity do what the laity is called to do so that the priest can do what he's called to
do. Wow, that is a great point. And a lot of times I think what we do is we're very good at complaining. I'm not saying everybody, but we're quick to point out when you, as our pastors, when you mess up, we're going to point that out. But yet, we don't do what we can. What we try to do on the show is inspire everyone who listens to do something. We can all do something, and as members of the laity, we can help you in your role as a priest.
Absolutely.
Father, I really want to thank you for spending some time with us this morning. Would you please give us your blessing before we go?
Certainly. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he always and everywhere have opportunity to show you his love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Father, thank Amen. You so much for joining us. We have to have you back on because I want to hear more about your call to the priesthood. You have a very interesting story. Would you come back on someday?
Certainly, I'd be happy to.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Father Tony Kutcher, the current president for the National Federation of Priest Council. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Right now the time is 7:27. The current temperature at the Philadelphia International Airport is 33 degrees. Today's forecast, scattered showers mainly before 3 p.m., then mostly cloudy with a high near 52. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 30. Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 41. At the moment in Doylestown, it's 30 degrees. In Coatesville, it's 28 degrees. And in Delran, New Jersey, it is 30 degrees. When we come back from the break, we're going to be chatting with Megan Coakley from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. She is the director of the Office of the New Evangelization. What is the new evangelization? How is it different from the old evangelization? And why, as Catholics, should we evangelize? We're going to chat about that with Megan when we come back. Right now, it is 7:28. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak here in the studios of Holy Spirit Radio with my buddy Dave Parker. We're going to grab ourselves another cup of coffee. We're going to take a break for just a few minutes. Stay tuned. And when we come back, we'll talk to Megan.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. A suspect violation of a Cold War-era arms control treaty by Russia may come up today when Defense Secretary Jim Mattis attends his first NATO meeting in Brussels. A Trump administration official says Russia has deployed a cruise missile in violation of that treaty. U.S. intelligence agencies have assessed that the missile became operational late last year. News of the apparent assassination of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's half-brother is rippling across Asia, and Malaysian investigators have been scouring airport surveillance video for clues about two women suspected of carrying out yesterday's hit. Kim, who died on the way to a hospital, told medical workers he had been attacked with a chemical spray at Kuala Lumpur International Airport. Korean media say Kim was killed by two women believed to be North Korean agents. And drivers behaving badly. A new study by AAA says 88% of those surveyed who are 19 to 24 years old admitted either running a red light, texting behind the wheel, or driving over the speed limit in the last 30 days. And 37% of drivers over 75 admitted to going through a light that had just turned red. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
You're listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Today I'm happy to share Ann Lander's final five commandments for getting along with people. First, discuss but don't argue. It is the mark of a superior mind to disagree without being disagreeable. Next, let your virtues speak for themselves and refuse to talk about the vices of others. Third, consider the feelings of others. Wit and humor at the expense of another is never worth the pain that may be inflicted. Also, ignore ill-mannered remarks about you. The person who carried the message may not be the most accurate reporter in the world. Simply live so that nobody will believe him. Finally, don't be anxious about the credit due to you. Do your best and be patient. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Time for my friends, no time to chit-chat. Problems at my job, wonder what to do. I know I should be working, but I'm thinking of you. And just when I feel this crazy world is gonna bring me down, that's when your smile comes around. Ooh, I love the way you hold me by my side. You'll always be, you take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love the way you hold me in your arms, I'll always be. They make it special in some way. I love you more than the words in my brain can express. I can't imagine even loving you less. Lord, I love the way you hold me. Tide a wave and put my feet on the ground. Forever in my heart, always on my mind. It's crazy how I think about you all of the time. And just when I think I'm about to figure you out, you make me wanna sing and shout. I love the way you hold me by my side. You'll always be, you take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love the way you hold me in your arms. I'll always be, you take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love you more than the words in my brain can express. I can't imagine even loving you less. Lord, I love the way you hold me. You've done. Wish I could tell you in a short story or poem, but all I have is my voice and this guitar. and you have my heart. Oh, I love the way you hold me by my side. You'll always be here, like each and every day, make you special in some way.
Was Hold Me by Jamie Grace featuring Toby Mac. Great song, isn't it? That's a nice, happy song. First time I've ever played that on the air. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. Thank you so much for starting your day with us. Right now it's 7:35. We are going to talk evangelization. Scary word sometimes. A lot of us, cradle Catholics, we get nervous about that word. But relax, it's all going to be okay. I have on the phone right now the director of the Office for the New Evangelization in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, Megan Coakley. Good morning, Megan. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. Doing well, thanks.
Thanks for coming on the show with us.
Happy to be here, always.
Hey, Megan, we were talking about you yesterday. I had Kelly Walquist on the show.
It was all good.
It was all good, yes. So we'll get to that a little bit about what's going on with the Women's Conference and how wine is going to be a big part of that. And it's not the kind of wine you're thinking of, so if you're out there listening. Megan, let's start at the beginning, though. Evangelization. Yeah. What is it?
Oh, boy, yeah. In a nutshell, what is evangelization? It's the church's 2,000-year-old mission to draw people into a life-changing and personal encounter with Jesus Christ through the life of the Catholic Church.
And
quite simple.
Yeah, and that's a great definition. And before we get to the difference between evangelization and the new evangelization, I just want to say that word sounds so Protestant. Are we called as Catholics to evangelize?
Oh, absolutely. As soon as you were baptized, you received a mission, and your mission was evangelization. Yeah. I mean, it's helpful just to understand the root word there being the evangelium, which simply means the gospel, which is so deeply Catholic.
And that's such an important thing for us to realize, because for years I went to Mass every week. I went to 12 years of Catholic school, but evangelization, we don't do that. I don't want to talk about Jesus. People will think I'm weird or I can't impose my views on somebody. But in effect, you're right. We are called to do that. We have this good news. Why should we keep it to ourselves?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as the world becomes less and less Christian and God-centered, all the more we have to understand people are really starving for this. It's absolutely necessary. And as we know from St. Paul, we will be held accountable for it in the end. You know, did we share Christ or not?
Right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the difference between the new evangelization and, for lack of a better term, the old evangelization.
Right.
Sometimes you'll hear, well, why do we need a new evangelization? What's wrong with the old way of doing it?
Right, yeah. So the term new evangelization was coined by John Paul II. The first I've heard of it was 1983.
Okay.
But really, it's been talked about really from Paul VI onward is when you start to see this really being really spotlighted in a new way. Of course, as I mentioned, this is a 2,000-year-old mission in the church. It started when Jesus was ascending into heaven and said, go make disciples. So evangelization has been there from the beginning. You think of all the missionary saints who went to continents across the world and converted people. That was the missionary impulse of the church. So that's always the case. Why John Paul II called it new was for two reasons. Number one, he saw that the human race, really the Western world in particular, but the human race in general, had entered a new time of history, that we have begun to see things and mentalities and practices and good and bad that we've never seen before. So technology would be one of them. Mass migration, right? People aren't staying in their hometowns anymore. All these kind of new things that the human race is dealing with and doing that really is new. And so the church, John Paul II was discerning that the church needed to discern how do we bring the perennial truths of the gospel to this new situation. Mm. So he's calling it new because mankind is in a new situation.
Right.
The other side of it, though, and this is kind of the side that's, I think, far more beautiful and far more hopeful, is that we recognize, too, that Jesus Christ is always new. Mm. He's always doing something new. He doesn't get old. His teachings don't get old. And so the church, though she has a 2,000-year tradition and those teachings don't change, what we recognize is that those teachings don't get old. They actually have a perpetual newness. So we don't have to have any fear about what's going on in the culture. We know that we have Christ and that we have this always new Jesus Christ to bring to the world that can speak to the human heart even now in the situation that we're dealing with.
That is such a comforting message. And I think
it's so comforting.
Right? Isn't it great? No need to freak out, Megan. You're telling me that we have Christ with us. That's
right.
Great.
We have Jesus. Nothing to worry about. He's got this.
That's so good to hear, because it's very easy if we watch the news too much, if we're on the internet too much and looking at what's going on in the world, to become overwhelmed and to think, well, I wish Jesus was here, but he is here.
He is here at the very heart of the church and everything about the church. He is present and active. Yeah.
I love it. Megan, could you talk a little bit about some of the efforts that I was looking at your website, some of the efforts that you're doing in your office with the Archdiocese? You're doing some great things.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff going on, lot of awesome people all over the country who are just in the Lord, have an active prayer life, and so these beautiful fruits are coming out of that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what my office tries to do, number one, just recognizing that this deep life-changing encounter with the Lord, this personal relationship with Him through the life of the church, is at the center. That if that's not in place for each of us individually, but as a parish community, as a diocese, as the church, if that intimacy with Christ is not present, we stop bearing fruit. So what I try to do in the office is just identify the most authentically Christ-centered Catholic ministries that exist in the country or even locally. There's a lot of people doing cool stuff locally.
Mm-hmm.
And introduce those ministries to our own people, to our parishes, because the number one thing is actually, even before reaching out to fallen away Catholics, one of my top priorities is actually reaching to the currently practicing Catholics to help them understand that this intimacy with Christ is absolutely fundamental. We cannot bypass it. It's really important if we've been a Catholic for 20, 30 years, we could even be daily Mass goers, but not yet be relating in a deep friendship with Christ personally. And that is fundamental. We won't bear life until that starts happening.
Megan, what you just said, that was a bombshell you just dropped. We could be, because I want to slow you down, and I agree with you. Because I've lived it. I get that. We could be going to daily Mass, receiving our Lord daily in the Eucharist, and yet not have a deep personal friendship with Him, correct?
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah, absolutely. And right, we know that when we receive Him in the Eucharist, that's the most intimate experience anyone can ever have. But what happens is, on the level of our own hearts, are we actually, when we receive communion, experiencing that as Christ coming to me personally, listening to me, talking with me, sharing with me? Mm. And I would say a lot of us, I think it bears out in kind of our regular encounters. We're not there yet, even kind of really, really devout Catholics. It's a challenge. So that's actually what I try to do when I go out and about in the parishes a lot, because typically the people I talk to are the practicing Catholics.
Right.
And I'm okay staying there, because actually we ourselves have to have a conversation and kind of be willing to examine our own hearts. Have I personally opened myself up to that life with Him? Because I think it's an area of vulnerability, right? To open up to friendship with Him is vulnerable, and it's scary for a lot of us. So,
it is. And I think sometimes we forget the fact that He wants it more than we do. Jesus wants to be my friend even more than I want to be his friend. Sometimes I think, well, this is me. All of a sudden, one day, I woke up and I decided I'm going to pursue Jesus, but he's been pursuing me for a lot longer than I've been pursuing him.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of kind of when these lights go on, you start to see that the whole structure of the church is Christ's pursuit of me.
Wow.
You know, that,
that
that's what confession is for, that he wants a face-to-face encounter with me, right? That's why the church insists on that, that you can't just be in your room or you can't just confess your sins in public. You have to be one-on-one with him because he wants the encounter. And so you start to see that all the teachings are actually about that. It's about this. He's desiring to encounter me personally and touch my life.
That's really neat. And everything you do in your office is designed to bring that about, to facilitate that.
Yeah, so we try to bring in, you know, the ministries that get that and communicate that well and then facilitate what the church would call creating the conditions that are favorable to someone having this encounter. So whether you're a practicing Catholic, a fallen away Catholic, or have no experience of religion, what are the ministries that really get this and understand what the human person needs to open his or her heart to this initial encounter that you know, once you've tasted it, forget it. There's no turning back.
Oh, yeah. I agree. You know,
as we've seen with the conversion stories throughout the millennia, there's no turning back once you've tasted it. So,
Wow. Megan, I have to say, I'm really disappointed. You know why I'm disappointed? Because I'm up against a break. I have 30 seconds left. I have enjoyed speaking with you so much. I need to get you back on the show. Would you come back on Sunday?
I'm happy to be there.
Thank you. Listen, thank you so much for the great work you're doing. If we want to find out more about the work that your office does, where can we go online?
Yeah, so the office website is phillyevange.org. So just Philly, as in the city, and then evange, shortened evangelization.org.
Phenomenal. And we're going to have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Thank you so much for joining us, Megan.
Thanks,
have to talk
Gary.
Again because you're doing a great job. God bless you.
Okay, God bless. Bye.
Megan Coakley from she's the director of the Office for the New Evangelization in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Man, I enjoyed that conversation.
Yes.
She is on fire. Mm-hmm. But we got to go now. I'm going to take a break. We will be back. Don't go anywhere. We're not going permanently. We'll be back with the Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day. Stay tuned.
Love is what we come here for. This is why we stay.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
I've been trying to make sense of the sorrow that I feel, holding on for life to the only thing that's real. I've only scratched the surface. I've barely had a taste, but just a glimpse draws my heart to change. And one side of you lays my sin to waste. I don't need to see everything, just more of you. Take it all away. Magnify it. Incomplete, and I made you look small. I've been staring at my problems for way too long. Realign where my hope is set, until you're all that's left. But just a glimpse draws my heart to change. In one side of you lays my sin to waste. I don't need to see everything.
Magnify no other name. Open up my eyes.
And that was We Are Messengers with Magnify. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Today's Be Not Afraid Bible verse. You ready for this one? It comes from Genesis 3:15, way back to the beginning of the Bible. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. They will strike at your head while you strike at their heel. How does this make me, feel good? Why does this bring me comfort? Because this is the first announcement that there will be a Messiah to repair the damage done by Adam and Eve, the sin that they committed. This is God saying, okay, I'm going to send a Savior. This is known as the proto-evangelium, the first gospel. It's good news. Jesus Christ came to redeem you. So it's very easy to get caught up in your problems. I do it all the time. I totally understand this. What we forget is that, you know what our biggest problem is? The biggest need that we have in our lives? It's to get to heaven. Because we can't do that on our own. Now, the good news is Christ redeemed you. Christ opened the gates of heaven to make it possible for you to get there. And he's going to give you, he wants to give you the grace that you need to end up in heaven one day. I think sometimes, Dave, we sell ourselves short. And we focus on happiness here. You know, I want to be happy right now, today. I want to be comfortable. I want to feel good. But yet God's got a bigger plan.
He wants
to give us that. It doesn't mean we will never have problems. We can have problems. But we can still experience peace in this life through our relationship with him. But he wants to go beyond this life because he sees the big picture. He wants us to be happy with him, living in perfect peace forever for all eternity in heaven.
Absolutely. He does. He does.
And that's why Jesus came to earth, to make sure that can happen, right?
That's the mission.
And it is possible.
And the goal.
It's possible for all of us to go to heaven. And that's what the virtue of hope enables us to believe. The fact that we are able to get to heaven no matter how big of a sinner we are. And yes, we are all sinners. Even though I'm a sinner, I can still make it to heaven if I cooperate with the grace that the Lord gives me.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. So, hey, Gary, can I say something real quick?
You bet.
I'm glad I love the Be Not Afraid Bible verses, but I'm glad this one wasn't yesterday on Valentine's Day. If you think about that.
Why is that?
Because he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman. And I'm thinking, no, not on Valentine's Day.
Good
Come
point.
On, Lord.
Now,
I'm,
by the way.
That was my way.
Very good. Very interesting. Boy, you're creative, Dave.
I'm creative. The day after. Yeah.
The Lord is talking to the serpent there. So,
he
said, but that's a very interesting.
That just struck me.
Only
like,
you would think of that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for pointing it out.
I think it's
time for some sports news.
Oh, yes.
Now, Dave, you're a logical guy, right?
I try to be.
You're
yes.
logical. So, last year, the Eagles were 7-9. They haven't made the playoffs since 2013, and they haven't won a playoff game since the 2008 season. Therefore, wouldn't it make sense that based on all that, the Eagles would raise the prices for season tickets?
I'm still groping for the logic there.
What happened yesterday. The team announced that the season tickets have increased by an average of $70.
So, really?
Yep.
Wow.
So, and on Twitter, fans mentioned what they said were increases from anywhere to $50 to $150 per seat.
Yeah. You know? Not to add insult to injury, we were kind of mediocre, very mediocre last year. But
let's raise the prices,
folks.
Listen, I just report the sports news.
I don't analyze it, but exactly.
It's very interesting. Phillies are in the midst of, they're just starting spring training. I think the first actual game is February the 22nd.
Yeah.
I believe they play the Yankees. Pitchers and catchers reported earlier in the week. I haven't heard too much, but I believe the position players report tomorrow.
It's just
nice to think about spring training.
There's
a certain sense of hope there.
Oh, absolutely.
At the start of every season. Flyers play tonight, playing against Calgary at 9:30 this evening. The Sixers play tonight as well, playing the Boston Celtics at 7:30. So we'll have some news from those games tomorrow. And last night, VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University, beat St. Joe's.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a little bit of bad news, 91-81.
Yeah, I didn't see any sports last night. My lights went out early last night.
My lights are out all the time sometimes, I think, Mr.
Anyways.
Parker. But it was great being on the show with you today, Dave. Always great to hang out with you.
Likewise,
good guests. I think Father Tony brought up some really good points about something that we don't often think of. We criticize our parish priest so many times, our pastor.
Mm-hmm.
We could do things so much better. He should say this. He should say that. He mm-hmm. should have more Bible studies. He should do that.
Yeah.
But what are we doing?
You know,
what are we doing to help him?
Exactly. What it made me think of at my parish, St. Francis Cabrini, Pastor McCormack, we have several councils. I mean, most pastors, I'm sure, have different councils like mm-hmm. pastoral council, finance council, and others. And they need us, the laity, of their choosing. And basically, I mean, to do the work. I mean, our pastors cannot do it all by themselves, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So
we need to help them.
Yeah,
and I think that was great what Father Tony said.
Exactly. And they're there. Let's keep in mind to be our pastor to help us to get to heaven.
Exactly.
And it's a lot of administration to run
right,
a parish.
Right.
You know?
So we can help them in some way. So check out the information that Father Tony provided. We're going to have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Megan Coakley, she was fantastic.
Boy,
that interview could have just gone on and on. I love talking to her.
Yeah.
You
we'll
can tell she's
back.
Passionate.
Oh, yes.
Oh, she'll be back for sure. She's passionate about helping people grow closer to Jesus Christ.
Speaking of baseball, that was a home run, I think.
Yeah. We got great guests
on
the show.
A preseason home run.
Don't we? We have great guests
on
the show.
You do.
The Holy Spirit
we do.
Sends us some great guests. And tomorrow, again, we're going to have Chris Stepien. He'll talk about his new book, Dying to Be Happy. You will love this. And Lisa Hendy, one of our regular guests. We have Lisa on every month.
From the West Coast?
Yeah, from the West Coast, Southern California. She's going to wake up at 4:30 to talk to us, her time. And she'll fill us in on her recent trip to India.
Oh, that's right.
She's back from India. Friday on the show, Dan Burke will join us for his regular Into the Deep segment. And our buddy Tony Rossi from the Christophers will be
here
to talk about a really interesting article that he has recently written. So that's what's coming up on Spirit of the Morning. I want to mention quickly before I close with the prayer, Dynamic Catholic Institute, founded by Matthew Kelly. They're very well known. Matthew's latest book is Resisting Happiness. Many, many people have been given this book in their parishes.
Mm-hmm.
They have a Best Lent Ever program. And Matthew says, don't give up chocolate for Lent this year, meaning that let's try to get the most out of Lent. A lot of times we'll just give up something and really not grow closer to the Lord.
Yeah.
They have this Best Lent Ever program. And I thought I would love to do something with them. So I got in touch with Dynamic Catholic Institute. And we are going to be participating here on Spirit in the Morning in Best Lent Ever in a very unique way. I'll give you more details in the weeks to come. But we will have a gentleman. His name is Jack Beers. He will be on the show with us. He works for Matthew Kelly. He came up with a lot of the material for the Best Lent Ever program. He's going to be on the show in a few weeks. We are going to be doing something every day for Best Lent Ever.
Mm.
I'll give you more information about how to get the book, Resisting Happiness, if you want it. And we're going to really grow closer to the Lord with the help of Matthew Kelly and Dynamic Catholic Institute this Lent on Spirit in the Morning.
Cabrini Men's Prayer Group is going through that book.
Oh.
A chapter every meeting, almost. Sometimes our meetings are so good.
Cool.
You know, we don't have too much time, but we all read a chapter, and the women's group as well.
Right. So
it's awesome.
Stay tuned for more information. We are going to go through that book with the help of Matthew Kelly and the folks at Dynamic Catholic Institute every day during Lent on Spirit in the Morning. Let's close with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, as a new day dawns, send the radiance of your light to shine in our hearts. Make us true to your teaching. Keep us free from error and sin. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Remember, today, you know the deal. God is with you wherever you go. Turn around, say hi. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Gary Zimek. Have a wonderful day. Catch you next time.